Morning, continuing on with discipleship is about conduct. And it's a big subject. Now, I want to go back to yesterday as we started our Saturday Bible studies. We're going to be going through 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And I want to put some folks to ease. So if you come and you have to go, it is fine. Our set time is from 9 o'clock to 10:30. Sometimes we go just a tad over, especially the first couple times we get together. And we went a little bit long yesterday, so what I'm going to do next time is I'm going to split the time. I'm just going to split the chapter right down the middle, and I'm going to split the time. When we get to a certain point, if we've got more or less to go, then we're going to grade ourselves right there and see what we can do about efficiency. So is that fair enough? Because I want to be respectful of your time. But yesterday there was a good bit of talk about, a whole chapter, and it's really not fair just to have an hour and a half on 1 Peter, the first chapter. It is so rich, and I really felt compelled to pull that into today because of the thing about conduct and discipleship. So I'm going to get right into it. Let's just start at the beginning. First Peter, first chapter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. So if anybody ever asks you about the Trinity is not spelled out in the Bible, but it's there. And you can mark your Bible right here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 talks about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in one verse. So that's an encapsulating proof right there, just so you know. So a little bit of history. Peter wrote this, and in the year 64 A.D., he wrote it. And between the years of 64 A.D. and 67 A.D. was some of the worst persecution that has ever been. And there's persecution going on today. And in the United States, we don't recognize it. In the United States, persecution is somebody talks about you or somebody unlikes you or somebody unfriends you or something like that. But the persecution that they had was horrible. And there was a man in charge. His name was Nero. Nero wanted to rebuild Rome. He wanted to refurbish Rome. And the Senate turned him down for the funds. So, mysteriously, Rome was set on fire. It burned for 6 days, and Nero did nothing to put it out. Nothing. I know you've heard of California fires and how people complained that there wasn't water to put the fire out. This would be worse than that because they would not. Nero did nothing to put the fires out. As a matter of fact, the rumor is that Nero was so evil that he did not want to put the fires out because he set the fires. And that way he could get the funding to rebuild Rome. And there was no value on life. And people began to hate Christians because Nero blamed the fire on the Christians. So they started burning Christians. Nero had a garden. And at night, he would take and order Christians wrapped up in something and put them on a stake and burn them to light his garden. That was an evil man. That was persecution. That was what was written in the time that 1 Peter was written. So now you know just a little bit of the history of what was going on. Okay? Verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again." That means we've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. You're going to hear that over and over again, incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Can somebody just say, thank you, God, that you're a keeping God? And you know that God's kept you. He's a keeping God. Okay? In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. So he recognizes the trials that we go through. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you, you love him, even though you haven't seen him, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified before him the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. So suffering is mentioned 17 times. This is a book about suffering. It's mentioned 17 times, the word suffering. It is talking about Christ's suffering or your suffering, okay? And then it says this about this. It draws attention. It says that though you've been tested by fire, that your faith and the genuineness of your faith is more precious, though tested by fire. So there's something happens whenever they take a precious metal and they run it through fire. The purpose is to burn off all of the impurities. And the end product is a pure product. And the end product is even more valuable than it was before the fire. And he's comparing that to the sufferings that we go through. So don't just complain about what you're going through. Also, let it burn away everything that shouldn't be there. And I would include that in my prayers. Lord, as I'm going through this thing, I'm going through it already, would you help me to redeem this time and burn away everything that shouldn't be there? Maybe burn away this complaining that I'm doing. And help me see with my eyes victory that we saw, that we sang about just a few minutes ago. Does that make sense? Okay. Verse 12, to them it was revealed to the angels, not that to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. That's all very powerful, and I just took like 3 minutes to talk about some of the things that we talked about yesterday because that's not my focus. But all of that to say this, because the next word is therefore. So therefore means everything we've talked about, now this, okay? So therefore, because of all that, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So what's happening right there is a standard is being set for the believers. The standard is holiness. Holiness does not mean that you glow in the dark. Holiness doesn't mean that everybody at work knows you as the guy that brings the big family Bible. Holiness means moral purity. And it means being set apart for the service of God. Set apart for the service of God. The elect that it talked about in the first couple of verses, they were being set apart for this suffering. Can you imagine God choosing you to suffer? There are also promises of glory that come with that. And that's a hard pill to swallow, especially in today's society, because the truth is the suffering that we go through would be so light compared to the suffering that we go through. compared to what these people were going through. Yet he was encouraging them. I know that you're going through it. I know that people are dying around you. Some of them is your family. I know that you're afraid, but hold fast to the faith that you have. Do not shrink back. It's easy for us right now to hear things and go into panic mode and talk about them as if we're not worried, yet the fact that we're talking about them so much shows that we are worried. Just saying. My conversation should be, come what may, Jesus. He's not going to drop me. If he elects me to do something, he's not going to drop me off just so he could write about it and say, yeah, some people died. You know that just as that is where that is concerned, he says, precious are the feet of the righteous ones who die. Precious. He keeps his eye on them. He said, if I see a sparrow fall, how much more valuable are you? Are you at a place, I'm just going to ask, I mean, don't raise your hand, don't answer, but answer to yourself. Are you at a place where God could use you for stuff? Stuff? Or are you just at the place where he could only use you for glorious stuff? Put your own example in that. So he says this. He said, be holy, for I am holy. And he's talking about the conduct that's mentioned in verse 15. And he said, how you get there? You gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. What does that mean? Gird up the loins of your mind. I'll tell you what that means. In those days, men and women alike wore robes. It looked like dresses. They were called tunics or robes. Men and women alike wore them. And to gird up, they knew exactly what that would mean. When it came time to run, they would take those robes and tunics and they would gird them up about their waist, their loins. And they would tie them off so that they could be more efficient and move quickly and run. Y'all don't want to see me run, so I'm not going to run. But I did fairly well right there. I got them there a little bit quick. But you see, if I would have had on a long robe, that might have taken a little more negotiating power unless I had been more careful, unless I had girded up. Okay, does that make sense? So they understood what it meant to gird up their loins. And he said, gird up the loins of your mind. So your loins, on your body, your waist, your loins, that's the area of your body that has to do with reproduction and wastes. Reproduction and waste. Say, I was not expecting a biology lesson this morning, but just in case you don't know, reproduction and waste. He said, gird up the loins of your mind. The Bible also says this when it's talking about the whole armor of God. It said, gird up your loins with truth. All right? So truth needs to be in the place where you reproduce things and where you decide what's waste. Okay? So if you reproduce truth in your mind, you will do away with the waste in your mind. But if you reproduce waste in your mind, you will eliminate the truth out of your mind. And he said, gird up the loins of your mind. That means truthful things in. That means don't allow waste into your mind. The compromise is the loss of truth. Just like that one. Soak in for just a second. According to each one's work, verse 17. If you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay in fear. We are supposed to live a certain way. He says, be holy, be morally pure, be set apart for God. So when you get saved, you are immediately positionally holy before God. Do you believe that? Like instantaneously. Okay, his word is either true or it's not. And we're talking about truth. So when you get saved, you are immediately positionally holy before God. But as time passes on and tomorrow comes and the next day comes and you get a week into it and you get a month into it and your life has changed and it's evident that your life has changed, you are working towards not just being positionally holy, but practically holy. How I walk, how I conduct myself, how people see me because of how I represent him. Do you know that people see you? Do you know that people are watching you? Do you know that it matters? Because if you don't believe it matters, then just kind of let it go. Don't care, claim to be a Christian, and then when something comes up, you'll have something to say, and they will look at you, and they will have judged you in their mind. It's just human nature. And they will find out if what you say is just something that you say, or if it's something that you say and you have lived. And believe me, there's a difference, and you need to be walking this thing out accordingly, understanding that God's watching. Now, men are watching, but that can be a good thing or a bad thing, but God is watching. That needs to be a good thing because of my understanding that he's watching, so I conduct myself accordingly, okay? That's something that needs to happen. Because if I say that I believe, but my behavior does not show that I believe, I'm living a duplicit life. Is that a right word? What is it? Duplicitous. Thank you, Sister Webster, my mother-in-law. It'd be just like me to just swat her with the swat when she does something good. Duplicitous. So my belief and my behavior actually need to run parallel. It's possible. It's not even possible. It's not just that it's possible. It's expected in the kingdom of God. How refreshing it would be if all of our lives, everyone that claims Jesus as their Savior, I claim to believe in him. My behavior is proof of that. Parallel. It's possible for us to live that kind of life. It's what makes my testimony true. It's what it makes a distinction between someone who's really living for him and somebody who's just saying that they're living. Yes, it does. If you were to look down at verse 21, I'm about to get ahead of myself, but y'all are probably okay with that. who through Jesus, who through him, believe in God. Okay, let's just pick it up at verse 17. I'm just going to read so I don't get too far off track. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves through the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. See, back to that again. You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. But you were redeemed with precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in God. Do you see that picture right there? Because I'm going to paint it again for you. It's talking about God and Jesus, who, by the way, they are one. I believe in the Trinity. I believe the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. I believe that they're all three in one. But there's a problem if you say, if you're okay with saying, well, I believe in God, and the next guy, well, yeah, I believe in God. And somebody else says, well, push comes to shove, I believe in God too. You want to show you how to mess that up real quick? Say this, I believe in Jesus. That just turns it up. That turns the knob all the way. That throws the thermostat all the way. It goes from bake to cremate. Who through him, Jesus, believe in God. How do you get to believe in God anyway? Through Jesus. You cannot separate them. Can't do it. But people do. I believe in God. Would you believe in Jesus? Well, hey now, hold now. I want to lose my job now. Hold on now. Gets tight real quick. Who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in God. Let's just call him who him is, Jesus, who through Jesus believe in God, who raised Jesus from the dead and gave Jesus glory so that your faith and hope are in God. See that? And that should reflect in our conduct. Why? It should reflect in our conduct because we understand some things. We understand, back to verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Knowing, verse 18, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. I talked to you guys about things that fluctuate and things that vacillate. If we vacillate, we kind of go back and forth between two things. And we're not supposed to be believers without the behavior. So we can't live a vacillating life where we believe, and but our behavior's kind of, but we believe. And we vacillate. We can't do that. And we also cannot fluctuate because of this scripture right here. It says, you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold. So we know this about silver and gold. They have to be put through the fire to get the purity and to raise the value. And we understand that. We talked about that. And we talked about it raises the value of believers. It raises our faith. And the scripture said the genuineness of our faith. And it compared as to going through fire. And now that faith is a proven thing. And even people saw that because they saw you go through it. And they understand that you got through it because of what God did for you. But I want you to see something about fluctuation. It's compared to silver or gold. Compared, and even when you take silver and gold and you get it to its purest form and you melt it into bars, and it's like 99.9% pure and it's at top value, guess what it does? It fluctuates in value. I'll prove it to you. I had somebody give me some silver personally. Same person gave the church some silver. It was a good bit of silver. And they gave it, I'd say about 12 years ago. I just held on to it. I said, and they even said when they gave it in a certified box. If you don't believe me, ask Debbie. She knows. Came in a green certified box, and it's strapped, and it came with documentation from the bank. This is a sealed item. This is this much stuff, so I dare not open it, or it's in a safe right now. At that time, that silver was worth about $18 an ounce. Pretty good. But this morning, I checked the value of silver because it fluctuates. And it fluctuated to the good. And this morning, it was $41.51. Smart move, Pastor John. So the value of that has more than doubled. But I'm not here to talk about gold and silver that fluctuate in value. I'm talking about the precious blood of Jesus that does not fluctuate in value. And you were bought with that and you were redeemed with that. You were redeemed with that. What's that other word? What's that? Not just redeemed. Ransomed. If you got an ESV, your Bible says you were ransomed. Ransomed. Be thankful, it says, ransomed. To be redeemed, it means to gain or regain possession of something in exchange for payment. It also means exchanging a coupon or value or voucher or a trading stamp for merchandise, a discount or money. And I thought back to something that was redeemed. How many of you, let's age ourselves again. How many of you remember S&H? Yeah, you remember. Green stamps. Raise your hand. We're not all spring chickens, are we? S&H green stamps. They were these little coupons as you bought your groceries. They would give you these blank books made out of the same material as newspaper. And those things were stamps. Those coupons were stamps. S&H green stamps. And you would take those and glue them page by page. And they had a redemption store. And they would have merchandise there. And after so many books, like how many books of green stamps would it take to buy this television? Or they had good prizes. And I remember as a kid, I was like, oh, man, I want them stamps. I want them stamps. And it reminded me of an episode of The Brady Bunch. So y'all seen it too, the card table. You remember that little dog came up and messed the whole thing up, but the girls won. They had a competition. And if you want to see a cultural shock, you need to go back and see that thing. The boys versus girls, the competition. Boys can't be against girls. Well, just give it a few years and they can. Okay, I digress. But I'm telling you, you should watch it. You should watch it. You will laugh, and you might cry. But at the end, the boys were going to get a rowboat, and the girls, well, they were going to get a sewing machine. And when it came time to decide, they surprised everybody, and they had a colored TV. It looked like it weighed 800 pounds. I said that because we've been redeemed. But I like the other word better in the ESV. We've been ransomed. We've been ransomed, because ransom means there was a price put on us. Ransom means there was a price put on someone. But ransomed means the price was paid. And it was a price that the person that had the ransom on them could not afford. And what it cost Jesus, there was no value. Because if there was, the rich people would own it. Because it was for everybody. And maybe you need to look at yourself as the rich people. Because he saw value. And he ransomed you with his precious blood. See, sometimes it's just about perspective. He values. He put a value on you. He saw the price, and he did it for the whole world, every one of us. And he said, you're worth it. You were worth it. I saw a true story. I like watching crime stories at home. And it was a very wealthy family, and the ransom came in for their child that was stolen. It was $800,000. They said, don't tell the police. And, of course, they told the police, but the police said, do not pay it. And the man said, I'm going to pay it. I don't care. I'm going to pay it. And they paid the $800,000. And when everything came out, when it took several years, when it all finally came out, their child was dead whenever he paid the ransom. He's dealing with evil. But he loved his child so much. That's what I want you to see. It could end up good, or it could end up bad. And the choice has already been made on his end. Now the choice belongs to you. I've been ransomed. I'm going to live like I've been ransomed. I'm going to live like there was some value there, and the value of his blood is more precious than blood, than gold or silver, and it will not diminish, and it will not vacillate, and it will not fluctuate. That's the value of who he is. That's the value of who he is. Friday night, I got a call at 10:30. I woke up at 3:30 that morning and couldn't get back to sleep Friday morning. So by 10:30 that night, old John Boy was asleep. And my son called me. Walker. Hello, son. He knew it woke me up. But he had some good news. He said, Dad, I got to tell you some good news. He said, I just got the email. I made the team. He tried out for a club volleyball sponsored by Anderson University. He made the team. I was so proud of him. Now, your pride can be up here for your child. And then in a moment, something can happen. And he said, I forgot to buy my ticket for the football game tomorrow. So he was talking to his mom and all this stuff and woke her up. And we went through that and made payment for his football ticket. And I was so groggy, but I was thinking the whole time, something's not right. We told him we love him. Bye. So proud of you. You made the team. I'm ready to go back to sleep. And my mind's racing and I can't go back to sleep. And I'm like, Christine, we pay for him to go to school. Don't students go to the games for free? About that time, the phone rang. He's like, sorry, Dad. It prompted me to put my student number in, and all sales are final, so I have my free ticket that tuition pays for, and I got an extra ticket. And I was like, I knew that. I almost said something about it, but Then he said, "You want to come?" I said, "I'll be there." See, though the enemy meant it for evil, God meant it for good. Come on now. And I came to Bible study, and I loved Bible study, but I was one of those ready to get out, like, I got to get on the road. Because my boy, I was going to drive a little over 2 hours. I was going to go through some crazy traffic in Charlotte. I was going to get redirected through Gastonia, because it's Gastonia. And I was going to get there, and I'm looking, I'm trying to find him on my phone. I'm like, there he is, and I'm on the whole wrong side of the place. And I see him on the grassy knoll over there. And I run over there to him, and I just tackle him right there on the ground. He never saw me go. He's like, "I wondered who did that. Had to be my dad." And I'm just loving on him. We spent the afternoon together. We went to Walmart and re-upped everything. Then I had to tell him bye. And Christine, whenever she called me, she could see I was on my way home. She said, "Was I worth it?" I said, "Ah, God, Christine." I said, "It's so worth it. Because that's my boy. So worth it." There's a few things that I can look at in my life and say, you just can't put a value on it. But the precious blood of Jesus, he says, you can't put a value on it, but it's paid. It's paid. May we never, ever, ever forget the price that was paid for us. And how do we say thank you? Belief and behavior. Parallel. Walking this thing out. I believe it. You can tell I believe it because I walk it out. I can tell you believe it because you walk it out. Not just Sunday and these hours. These are the easy times. Anybody could do this. Geico would tell you a caveman could do this. I thought that was kind of funny. Sorry about that. Don't be a caveman. He did it all for us. And they, these people that this story was described to, they were going through it. And going through it like we have no idea. And in comparison, we would be like royalty for the little things that we go through. Other scripture says, for our light and momentary afflictions are not worthy to be compared to the glory that'll be revealed in us. I want to live a life the Bible calls worthy of the calling that I've been given. Okay, so I'm called to be a preacher. Okay. You know what your first calling is, though? Your first calling is to live right. Let us not ever forget the calling. It's the most important calling we have, is to live right. People are watching. Your people that you work with, they're watching. Your neighbors, they're watching. Can I bring it on home? You know that's the direction I'm going in. Your children are watching. Your wife is watching. Your husband is watching. I want my testimony to be true. First to my spouse, then to my children, then to my neighbors, then to those I work with, then to those I come across in life. And it should be that, because belief and behavior should walk parallel together as we follow Christ. Amen. You bow your heads with me. Lord, it's true because your word is true. I have not embellished this. It's the truth. It's not just what it says, it's what's expected. And it's not just what's expected. The Bible describes it as a reasonable service. It's so reasonable that it's actually probably also fairly described as unreasonable because it's so out of balance what you've done for us versus what you require. And if we're not careful, we'll flip that thing upside down and look at it like you still owe me, God. You owe me. You've done everything. You've paid everything. It is not just my responsibility to live for you. It is my joy to live for you. Let it be our joy to live for you. And let us not fool ourselves ever that our belief and our behavior to be believable to God and to men, it has to walk side by side. Help us to do that. As we are your disciples, God, I thank you that your holy word will instruct us, it will correct us, and it will also protect us. And we thank you for it all, and we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.